To me, freedom has nothing to do about where we are physically. There are people in prison that are more free than some people on the streets, and there's some people outside of prison who are locked up. So for me, true freedom is not a physical place in where you are, but a mindset that you have in life. When I was 17, I was a junior in high school. I was arrested for aiding and abetting a homicide, and I got a 20-year sentence. I didn't know what to do. I got into jail. I mean, scared at that age. I wasn't allowed to see anyone. I wasn't able to visit anyone or anything, and I just slept for like the first 2 days. You know, you look around at 17 years old and everybody's older than you, and it's scary and intimidating and all those things. I remember it was my first Friday there in jail. It was January 24th, and I remember that everyone was leaving out of the unit, and they said, "Who wants to go to this church service?" And I said, "No, I'm good. I didn't want to go." And one of the guys like, "Well, they give you donuts." So I'm like, "All right, I'm going." So I went, and this volunteer he played a few songs, and we sang a few songs, and then he started speaking about God's just mercy and forgiveness and love in a way that I had never ever heard before. I just completely blew me away. I'd never heard that before. And at the end, he said, "Is there anyone who'd like to give their life to Christ?" And I didn't quite know what that meant at the time, but I raised my hand, and they led me through prayer. And what happened in that moment is there was a change in me that I started, you know, attending that service Friday night regularly and having one-on-one meetings and just going to the rest of these groups and feeling the love that these volunteers who were coming in were pouring in and taking time to come and meet with us and visit with us. And when I went to Stillwater in 2010, I got around some guys that they had been in prison for a long time, and they had really no foreseeable future of when they were going to be getting out of prison. And they were happy, and they were smiling, and they had joy. And I was like, why? Those guys showed that you can have a solid walk in prison. That even though you're locked up, even though you got a lot of time to do in prison, you can follow Christ in a solid way that is life-changing and life-transforming, and so much that it bubbles out of you and gets onto other people around you. When I was able to open myself up to God's love and understand that God did love me and that He forgave me, I was able to get past that unforgiveness that I had for myself and open myself up to receive love. And when I open myself up for that, I can open myself up to give it away to other people. My grandma met a guy named Bill, who's a member of Westwood Church, and she had known him. They had a kind of a working relationship, and since 2005, he's just been coming to visit and pouring into my life, and that's when I first met Westwood Church. You know, Westwood's impacted my life personally by just being a presence here. In the book of John, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Every set of sermon notes that are sent in, every DVD series that's set in, that's light shining into a dark place. And no matter how dark this place can become, and there is some despair and those things, in this place, the light of Christ shining into this place through you guys is overpowering all of that. When I look at freedom is found in not having to be trapped by the things I've done in the past, but continuing to look forward to how am I going to make a positive impact into the future, and how am I going to share God's love with all those around me so that the change that I've had in my life, they can have that same change in theirs.
Thank you, Matt, and what an amazing story. Thanks for sharing it with us. And I want to say hello to all of our new friends at Moose Lake Prison, and to everyone, thanks for celebrating Easter with us online, in homes, or wherever you might be. I want to share a little bit about Matt's story, even throughout my whole meditation today, but let me give you just some perspective. Our mission at Westwood is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ here, near, and far. And about 6 weeks ago, we launched our very first microsite campus at Moose Lake Prison, and Matt is giving leadership there. But it's been 5 years we've been trying to capture his faith story to bring to our church family. But because of the state regulations, you can't bring a team of people in and cameras in. And just recently, those restrictions were loosened. And on March 11th, we sent a team to go and capture Matt's faith story. And we're so grateful that that took place. But as they were capturing the story and wrapping it up, getting ready to leave, the state put an injunction and closed down the prison system all across the state of Minnesota. And so we were the last team to visit Moose Lake Prison before the virus closed down the prison. So we just say this story from Matt is meant to be today, and we're grateful, Matt, for your willingness to share it. We talked with Matt this week and learned that the reality is that the virus has hit the prison. There are 13 inmates that are wrestling with it. And we said, how are you doing with it? And he emailed us these words. He says, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Some here feel isolated, scared, anxious, and unsure of the future. But three words change all of that. He is risen. Matt says, we serve a loving and living Savior, and no darkness can drown out that hope. You can just sense the confidence of Christ that is in Matt. We're grateful for that, Matt. And I think about the fact that you are in lockdown because of a virus, and so are we in a sort of kind of way. We have a stay-at-home reality. We have social distancing that's taking place. So we find ourselves in a place not being able to go where we want to go when we want to go there. But Easter reminds us that Jesus can, that Jesus in no way is in lockdown. He can go where he wants to go, when he wants to go there. A friend in conversation this week gave me a picture of it that I found really quite inspiring, that while restaurants are closed, Jesus is still offering the bread of life. And as clinics are postponing elective surgeries as well as those routine exams, we find that Jesus is the great physician. He is the one making house calls. And we find that though we can't go about and have dinner with our friends the way we like to, Jesus still knocks on our door and wants to dine with us if we are willing to welcome him in. Or we look at the national borders that are closing and are reminded that the gates of the kingdom are wide open for all who want to enter. And we see call centers that are just completely overwhelmed, but Jesus' prayer line is 24/7. There's no automated calling that's taking place, answering services. There's no wait in line. In fact, we get to be first in the queue. And then especially we see how churches are closed everywhere. And yet we're reminded by Jesus that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in our midst. I don't know if you realize this, that 93% of American churches will be offering Easter services online. And Jesus is in our midst. He is wherever you are. He is with us together as we worship on this Easter. When I go back into the very early days of this first Sunday, this Easter experience, what it must have been like for those followers, I can't imagine what it was like for them to wake up that Sunday morning. I mean, they were still defeated. They were devastated by Jesus' crucifixion. They were self-quarantined in fear for their own lives and their own homes. And it's because they didn't realize yet that Jesus had risen from the dead. But then when they have this encounter with the living Christ, it changes everything for them. They move from a place of fear and hiding. And just several days later, they're actually in downtown Jerusalem proclaiming the good news that Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And they get ridiculed by some. They're even beaten. Some are put in prison. And they continue to preach because the resurrection of Jesus Christ made such a difference for them. I think it's important for us to consider that because some people don't believe because they don't think the resurrection is true. But most people don't believe because they just don't see how it matters in their everyday life. We find that we're learning all kinds of new terms in this coronavirus time, like essential and not essential. And no one wants to be looked at as being non-essential or that our work is non-essential, including Jesus. That is, Jesus and who he is and his resurrection work is always, always, always classified as essential. And that's promising to us. And yet there are many of us who are making that decision. Do we see Jesus and the power of his resurrection essential for our life or non-essential? Now, my message on this Easter day is that Jesus rose from the dead and he is working for you. That who he is and his resurrection power is essential for life today and for all eternity. Let me just explain this a little bit, because his resurrection power is all about his love. And when we think of love, there's all kinds of layers in terms of how we express it. The lowest kind of love is a love that is utilitarian. It's a self-serving love that seeks to use people for personal gain. But the highest love is God's love. It's an other-centered love that seeks to meet our greatest needs. What the resurrection means is that God's highest love is at work in us and for us right now, that he is serving to meet our needs right now. It often astonishes people to hear this, because we don't think of God being this kind of God, but God does not want you to prove your strength by serving him. He wants to prove his strength by serving you. Acts 17 brings this home to us. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. See, God can't be served because there's no deficiencies in him to serve. That we are the ones with deficiencies. We are the ones who have the needs. And he has the resources to meet those needs. This is why Jesus came to earth. And he reminds us in his own words, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. It's a reminder that he died to meet our needs. And he rose to meet our needs and to give us life. So the most urgent question is, are we in touch with what our most essential needs are? And are we willing to invite Jesus into our lives to work on our behalf, to serve us, to meet those needs? That's the question. I want to make a quick distinction between essential needs and pressing needs. There are countless pressing needs that we're dealing with all the time. Many of you are dealing with financial needs. We continue to receive prayer requests of people within our own faith community who have lost their jobs, and we continue to be in prayer for you. There are emotional needs and there are health needs, just accentuated by a virus that is spreading so quickly, and we can't help but wonder if we might get it or if a loved one might get it and what would happen to us if we did. Now, there are pressing needs all around us, and Jesus is aware of them, and he comes in his risen power to help meet them. But on this Easter day, I want to clarify how Jesus' resurrection makes a difference in your life by working to meet the three most essential needs that we have in relation to our past, our present, and our future. The first is highest love means God works for you in your past. Matt reminded of this in his own confession, that the 20 years of time served in the prison, he deserved because of his past. He said, quote, when I was able to open myself up to God's love and understand that God did love me and forgave me, I was able to get past the unforgiveness I had for myself. See, we all have a past. We all sin. We find ourselves in the arena of life where we say things sometimes we ought not say, and we do things that we ought not do. That is our reality. And in the picture of this reality of our own sinfulness, we have this reminder that the Lord is with us, that our sin actually keeps us from being with God, and we can't help but wonder if it keeps God from wanting to be with us altogether. Now, his resurrection really matters. It proves that he fulfilled his mission when he came to die for the sins of the world, that his highest love covers my personal sin. And 1 Peter 3 reminds us of it. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. But before our Savior could bring us to God, he had to die for those sins. And then he had to rise from the dead which is what he did, showing that his death was so awesome in its success and what it accomplished, that the debt has been paid, the curse has been lifted up, that our servant from heaven has done for us in his work what we could never do for ourselves, that he has taken away our sin and made a way for us to live in a personal, dynamic, live relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2:8 that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. It's not about our strength. We can't earn it. We don't even deserve it. It's about his strength, and we simply receive this beautiful gift. Now, Matt has a past. I have a past. You have a past. It's essential that we deal with our past, but I can't. But Christ can. That's the first essential need that we have, to be free of our sin and to get right with God. Jesus did it on the cross. God sealed it in his resurrection. And second, we find that highest love means that God works for you in your present. That when we receive forgiveness, we actually receive the presence of Jesus Christ to be lived out in our present reality. You know, Matt said again, quote, "When I look at freedom, freedom is found not in being trapped by the things that I have done in the past, but continuing to look forward and make a positive impact to those that are around me." That Matt's present life has a new life because it's fueled by the risen power of Jesus Christ. And so when you receive Jesus as your Savior, the living Christ actually lives in you. And Paul brings this home to us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." That God's love is just poured out into our hearts. In fact, the word for love translated in this passage is in the perfect tense. It means that his love is being poured out in a continuous kind of way, moment by moment. That the moment we say yes to Jesus as Savior of our lives, we find that the Holy Spirit is pouring the love of Jesus in and through us in our life journey. That he turns the spigot on, you could say. God's love flows in us, not in dribbles or drops, but like just a steady, steady stream. Now, it's been a long time since I've been on an airplane now, and many of you in the same place. I find myself, whenever I'm on a plane, and we're just rumbling down that tarmac, getting ready to take off, I wonder how such a huge plane is ever going to find the lift needed to go into the air. It seems to me the law of gravity would just keep it down. But we know that there is another force. There is a law greater than the law of gravity, and it is the law of aerodynamics. And I think that's analogous to our life in Christ, that there is another force at work, the risen power of Christ who meets us in our present reality. That's the second essential need that we have, to be infused with the resurrection power. And I see this. Matt, every time I'm with him in the prison, I leave so lifted and encouraged because I see the power of God at work in him. And it's a light, it's a beautiful aroma that he's no longer, as he says, trapped by his past, but he lives in the present believing that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all he could think or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. That's how it happens. This highest love, this resurrection power of Christ that is working for us, in us, and through us in the present. So friends, I just look at what's happening in the world, and we're going to get through this. And the present strength of the Lord helps us to navigate the pressure points that we feel in these days. We will get through this. And then finally, highest love means that God works for your future. That the third essential need that we have is the need to overcome death. That this virus has done something. It's heightened for us a sense of our immortality, unlike, quite honestly, I have ever experienced in my lifetime. We think about it. We watch the television and see the deaths rise every day. I'm kind of brought into my young teenage years when the Vietnam War was taking place, and the evening broadcast would always open with the number of troops who died that day. And I couldn't help but wonder in my own young mind, would I receive a draft notice and need to go? It feels like that way with this virus. We wonder if we might get this virus, and if we did, would we get the death notice with it? And yet the statistics are still coming in, but it looks like 98% of those who get this virus will live through this virus. That you're more likely to die from heart disease or lung disease or maybe even a car accident. But how we die will vary, but there's no doubt, at least in my research, I think the death rate is still hovering somewhere around 100%. It's something that we will all face. So death is this enemy, and we know that we were created by God to live. We want to live. We want to live today, and we want to live forever. But I cannot save myself from death. And that's why the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power that is at work in and through him, is so precious to me and so meaningful to me that I need not fear death, but I can face it with hope because of what he says in John's Gospel, chapter 11, 25. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That is the question. Do you believe this? Do you? I want to invite you to believe. I think Billy Graham gave some beautiful perspective to this when he says you're born, you suffer, you die. Fortunately, there's a loophole. The loophole is Jesus Christ, Son of God. You know, this Easter Sunday is Westwood's 25th birthday. And I so wish we were going to be together. We had planned a big party. We were going to celebrate this day for really the next couple of weeks to come. We're going to have donut holes and just enjoy that because we started the church. We had donut holes available every week, and it was going to be a fun party. We are going to still do that fun party. Whenever it is we come together, we're going to throw that party again. But as I think of that first Sunday at Westwood, I can't help but think of Matt and his first day in prison when he says he slept for 2 days. And his first Friday, he gets this invitation to go to church. But he goes to church for donut holes. But he leaves with the bread of life. And he said something so powerful in his faith story. When I repeat it, he said, quote, I had never heard of a love like this. There was a change in me. That love changed me. This is the highest love, that Jesus rose from the dead and that he is working for you. That he and his resurrection power are essential for life today and for eternity. So let me invite you to invite Jesus into your life, to actually let the highest love do its work in your past, your present, and your future, to put your faith in Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, knowing that all your sins will be forgiven and completely blotted out. That the Holy Spirit will come and indwell you with the very presence of Jesus and the power of his resurrection so that love and joy and peace and hope become your everyday reality, that you would indeed receive salvation, knowing that the very power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead will someday raise us from the dead as well. Oh, the essential presence of Jesus and his work is what makes life meaningful and everything. Invite Jesus into your life, even now, as we pray together. Lord, your love is the highest love. Thank you for your resurrection that works to meet my essential needs, the forgiveness of my personal sin and the sin of the world, the Spirit that lives in me through your power, the salvation that gives me life today and for eternity. We receive it, O Lord, with glad hearts on this Easter day. And thank you for your resurrection power that works to meet pressing needs. We ask that you work through those seeking a solution to this virus. Work for and through the medical care providers and first responders. We're so grateful for many of them who are willing to even put their life at risk, as you did for us. Be with them, prosper them, protect them. And work for those who are impacted by this disease in a personal way, relationally or physically, emotionally or financially or in whatever way it is. You are the God who sees our need and meets our needs in your risen power. Oh, your love, O Lord, is amazing. Your love is high. Your love is Jesus risen from the dead, working for us day in and day out. And we give thanks to you for for your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Praying in his name, amen.